Baron had dozed off, but woke when he heard an approaching noise, thinking it was help, maybe. Instead, it was another of the intruders, with two men and a woman in civilian clothes. Baron knew, in a general way, who they were. Civilian technical advisors, experts, contractors, hired to do something in weapons systems. He'd never actually met any of them, though he'd seen them in the corridors and lift tubes occasionally. Ordinary, middle-aged civilians, he'd thought. Of no interest to him, since they weren't working in his area. Now they stared at him as if he were a monster, too. He supposed he looked pretty bad, with his swollen nose and bruised face. But they didn't have to look as if they thought it was all his fault.
You lied to us. You were paid to fix this, and you didn't. When we looked, the lights were green.
But we did fix it. We fixed it so that it wouldn't work, but the captain would think it did work. That's why all the telltales are green. He could run his system test, and it would come up...
They're not green now.
What happened?
The man leaned past his captor to look, and turned an interesting shade of pale green.
You... did you tear those wires out?
To make sure it wouldn't work? Yes. Because you lied to us.
But I didn't lie. Now he knows it doesn't work, and he could have a backup.
You were supposed to disable all self-destruct devices. You were paid to do that. So, if you left one, then you have broken your word to us, and we take that very seriously.
We don't know. We did what you said.
The man looked as if he couldn't quite believe the situation. He kept glancing at Baron and away again.
Fix it again, so that it looks to the captain as if it's working.
But the captain will know it's been tampered with. Fixing it now won't convince him. Someone would have to tell him. I could go tell him I could fix it. They know we're experts in weapons systems, and then I could...
The man didn't have time to flinch away before he was dying, the blade deep in his throat and a hard hand squeezing his mouth. Blood spurted, then flowed, then stopped, filling the compartment with the smell of blood so strong it almost covered the stench of death itself. The killer let the dead man fall, and then wiped his bloody hand across his own mouth, then the woman's.
They don't call us the Blood Horde for nothing!
With the same knife, and it seemed even worse to Baron that he didn't wipe it clean between the killing and the mutilation, he sliced off the dead man's left ear, bit it hard once, and then tucked it away in his uniform. He turned to the second civilian.
Now, you will fix this so it looks as if it's working.
The second man, shorter and darker haired than the other, hurried to comply. When he had done, the telltales showed green again.
That's got it.
The killer turned to the woman.
Is this right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is right.
If you know that, we don't need him.
The killer caught the smaller man by the collar.
We'd rather work with you.
No! Let him go, please!
We heard what you said about the Blood Horde. How you taunted our agent. You dared to bind him. You threatened. You had a noose around his neck. And now you have a noose around your neck. Even barbarians, as you call us, understand poetic justice.
The killer twisted, and horribly, slowly, the dapper little man died, his struggles weaker and weaker until they ceased. The killer turned to the woman.
We pay our debts. Do we think size is everything? I believe that was your complaint, was it not? Then I believe you should have a chance to experience size in a way suitable to you in particular.
The woman gave Baron a frantic glance.
You think he could help you? This boy that we captured as easily as we took you?
No!
Through all that followed, Baron struggled, grasping his wrists raw, earning a random cuff now and then from men more amused than concerned with his efforts. The woman struggled too, but it did her no good. One after another, they took her, in ways that Baron's inexperience had not imagined. Finally, the woman lay still. Baron couldn't tell if she was dead or just unconscious. She had been some kind of traitor, apparently. He had gotten that much from what they'd all said, but no one deserved what had happened to her. One of the men tapped the other on the shoulder and pointed at Baron. The one on her pushed himself up and then turned to Baron. He grinned even wider.
That boy's upset. Maybe she was his girl.
Too old. A nice boy like him wouldn't have a woman like that.
I'm sure he has a girl somewhere on the ship. We'll have to be sure we find her.
Baron would have heaved again if he'd had anything left. Captain Haken looked around the conference room, shaking his head.
What I don't understand is how they found the self-destruct so fast. Not that many people know where it is.
They grabbed those civilian contractors.
But how would they know? They're weapons specialists. They've been busy recalibrating the guidance systems. Oh, shit.
If someone suborned the civilians, then they could have disabled the self-destruct. They could have found it while appearing to be working on weapons and inventory.
What I don't understand is why they were snatched if they've already done their job.
They hadn't. Remember, until an hour ago, all the signals were secure.
Commander Weitch looked up from his weapons data.
Considering the quality of work they did on the weapons, if they disabled it, I'd expect it to be undetectable. I'd bet they were snatched simply for their weapons expertise. With the data wands the intruders got from the three we know they killed, they'd have high enough access to find that out.
So now the self-destruct is out of my control. I should have used it.
No. It was the handiest way, the easiest and least obvious way for you to have the power of destruction. But it wasn't the only. On this ship, with what we've got in inventory and the expertise in the 14th alone, we can prevent capture. We will.
I hope so. I sincerely hope so. Because if you don't, we are not the only ones who will suffer for it.
Wraith gives us another possibility.
Wraith?
She still has a third of her weapons, all in portside mountings. And she still has ample firepower to blow cars. Not from the repair bay. The way she's locked into the cradles, even if she blew herself, there's a 72% chance that most of Kos would survive. We'd have to reposition her mounts, which would take days. But if we can get her into a position to fire on the core area...
Commander Takis, head of drives and maneuver, made an outraged, dismissive gesture.
She can't maneuver! We dismounted the drives when she first came in, and it would take days to remount them. Besides, I have everyone working on the FTL drive for this ship.
I was thinking of the drive's test cradle. She doesn't have to maneuver to be slung on there and then towed into position, even if you wish, at the extremity of the lines. The test cradle's own drive would be sufficient, if necessary, to move her into the best firing position for Kos. Or she could get some shots off at the Blood Horde.
It could work. Certainly as far as destroying Kos is concerned, and quite probably she could do a fair bit of damage to the Blood Horde ships.
If those weapons have not been taken off Wraith, and we're absolutely sure they haven't been tampered with, then we've got our failsafe back. As long as they're not depleted taking pot shots at the enemy.
No. I can see that there'd have to be strict limits of use, but that should leave enough to do some damage. Especially if we had something else. One of the shuttles, maybe. In the Xavier action, the planetary defense used a couple of shuttles to good effect.
They used them for mine laying. I don't think that would work here.
If only we could Trojan horse them, the way they did to us. It would serve the bastards right.
Get aboard a Blood Horde ship? I don't see how. Since they do it, they know it can be done. They'd be watching. And our people would be trying a hostile boarding against resistance.
I was thinking, if we had any native speakers of their language, if we could locate one of these intruders and sweat some recognition codes out of them, then our people could pretend to be their own team coming back.
Won't work. Sorry, sir, but we shouldn't waste time with schemes bound to fail. The Blood Horde Special Operations Teams, which is what we have aboard, are all members of one lineage. Each team is, I mean. They train together for years and develop their own distinctive dialect. Our people can't imitate a Blood Horde pack. Not without a lot of training. We don't have time to give. Besides, we only have 13 people aboard who speak the language with anything like sufficient fluency, and their accents indicate different origins.
We're at the brainstorming stage, Commander Norris. There are no bad ideas.
Very well, sir. Well, suppose one of the Blood Horde ships were close in and empty or nearly empty of its crew. We've developed a fairly good model of a Blood Horde ship's control systems, working from the commercial models they're built on, and information from scavenge. It wouldn't take long to train our experienced warship crews to use it, or, for that matter, import our own scan equipment.
And just where do you plan to find a close-in Blood Horde ship with its crew off it?
The question hung a moment as they all considered. Then the same idea flickered across several faces. Hakens turned grim.
No, absolutely not. I am not going to allow more Blood Horde troops aboard my ship, just for the chance of capturing one of theirs.
They'd probably like to use one of the repair bays. Wraith's in one, they know that. The other's empty. The best place for a smaller ship to dock anyway. Full of stuff they want.
No!
Do you have any information on Blood Horde boarding procedures, Commander?
All we have is reports from the few civilians who survived a Blood Horde raid on a large civilian ship. They come in wearing protective gear that functions as both EVA and battle armor. They were, in that case, quite willing to damage the ship they'd captured to gain control of it. None of the civs we talked to could tell one level of weapon from another, but one of them did describe something capable of holing interior bulkheads with one shot. Here, though, we're assuming they want a DSR entire. I expect they'll do as little damage as possible in capturing it, but they do have to board.
Another possibility is the weaponry aboard a Blood Horde ship in a repair bay. Suppose it could be immobilized there. Then its weapons would give us yet another self-destruct capability. They have forward-mounted weapons in every class.
If we were able to get aboard and take control...
I think we can take that as given, sir. If they just sit there, they aren't accomplishing anything. They can't shoot at us without doing the damage they don't want. And besides, they have no reputation for being patient. I think we can count on them coming out with an intent to take control of key systems.
Which is why we can't let them do it. It would take your people some time to get aboard, get control of their ship, and maybe be able to use it to defeat their other ships or destroy us. And in the meantime, I'd have a ship full of enemy. No!
So the real problem is getting them off their ship without letting them onto ours. You know, there might be a way. If we could shut off the repair bay, that whole wing...
We could just take it apart.
Take it apart?!
Commander Ceviche, review the original construction data and all later modifications. There may be a way to cut one of the repair bays loose, unobtrusively, of course, and isolate it from the rest of Kosciusko.
In less than an hour, Ceviche returned with the data ready to display. He set up the large screen and lit it.
Here, you see. When they assembled Kos, they planned for possible changes by using temporary attachments.
You mean we've been working in a ship that's not really held together?
No, sir. It is held together, and quite well. But it would take only hours, not days, to detach it again. These pressure clamps, these connectors here, all this can be undone fairly easily. Relatively, I mean. The seal between T4 and the core cylinder is a large expansion joint of sorts.
Ceviche switched to another display.
As Kos was assembled, before an arm was locked on, the near end of these things were fastened to the core, and then the outer end to the arm. As the arms moved in to mate with the corrugations compressed, giving additional safety margin to the join.
Yes, but I presume you plan to stretch them out again. Do you really expect them to be sound after all this time?
I don't see why not. We've used the same material over the same span of time, with multiple compressions and extensions, with no failure. Besides, we can have the locks on each side shut. The way the arms are made, there are airlocks on the inner end of each deck.
I know that, Commander, but I'm sure they'll notice that the inner hatches are locked, and then they'll blast them.
No, they won't. We can rig temporary cross-dock access. They don't know what it's supposed to look like.
Then when it detaches, it'll depressurize.
Not if someone is there to lock the hatches.
Ceviche looked to Dossignol for help.
We're going to take casualties, whatever we do. To protect us from capture, you're prepared to destroy the ship and crew. I understand that, and it may be necessary. But I believe we have a chance to save both the ship and much of its crew if we can hold out until Admiral Garrosh returns. Denying the enemy the use of a ship, using it ourselves, and using what firepower Wraith has left is the only way I see to do that. I'm sure we'll have volunteers enough for the most hazardous of these hazardous missions.
We'll have to have someone commanding each section that's freed, with the authority to do what they must, whatever that is. Divided command would be disastrous, and we can't be sure that communications will hold.
Which means we've got to get those people involved in planning right away.
I don't like it. It's Scrabble law. The whole ship is my command, and you're proposing to break off pieces and give them an independent command. Separated, they'll be even easier meat to the invaders.
Captain, we're offering a suggestion that gets us both off the hook. Kosciusko was assembled from previously independent sections in deep space. You know that. T4 and T3 even had names. Peace and Meal may have been stupid names, but names. They might have been commissioned as ships in their own right if Fleet had not decided to try for a unified DSR. it's reasonable to maintain that they're both directly under the 14th.
You'll have to crew them. You're not taking any of the crew I need to secure Kos.
You know, Vladis, if it's really going to stick in your craw, you can write a report.
Oh, I intend to. Partly to question your authority to nominate a captain for any vessel in this sector. That's Foxworth's job. Or, at the lowest level, Garrosh's.
I see your point. But I'm gonna do it anyway. We can all hash it out with a board of inquiry, if not a court, later.
It won't improve the odds. And it just makes my job harder.
I don't see how, since we're almost certainly ridding you of most your intruders and one of the ships trying to attack you. Now, as for crew, we have the uninjured survivors of Wraith.
Which will be needed to serve Wraith's weapons.
Their weapons crew, certainly. Since Wraith won't be maneuvering, I don't know about their bridge crew. I hate to waste a captain with combat experience aboard a crippled ship. We're not overburdened with such officers.
Commander Adarin held out a data wand.
Admiral, I've prepared a list of all officers and enlisted aboard with combat experience in the past 3 years. They're rank ordered by specialty and in performance, not just experience in combat.
Good. Let's see. Oh my.
Haken craned his neck, trying to see.
What?
We have ample combat experienced weapons specialists because the senior weapons technical course is running. Scan. Not much problem there. We're short environmental systems specialists, but this should be over fast enough that it won't be critical. We can have our people in self-contained gear. Communications is also short, but most scan techs are cross-trained in communications, and we have plenty of scan techs. What we don't have is ship commanders. Or rather, we have just enough. Wraith's captain for Wraith and Lieutenant Commander Bowry, who's here for a special course, to command the Bloodhorde ship.
I don't suppose we'd be lucky enough to get more than one of them.
I doubt it. Why would they bring in more than one ship at a time? If they gifted us with such riches, we'd just have to find someone to take it. But that gets us down to fairly junior officers with very little experience of command in combat.
Dossignol considered telling them who, precisely, but he knew Haken would have particular objections to Esme Suiza.